morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 20th of February. And this hour, we get to talk about one of my favorite things in this good earth, and that's dogs. Our guest this hour is the author of the bestseller Merle's Door, Lessons from a Free-Thinking Dog. After he wrote that bestseller, many people started asking him the question, why do dogs die so young? And why do particularly smaller dogs live longer and larger dogs die at a younger age? That set him on a quest that took 5 years, and it required that he purchase another dog and raise that dog according to different kinds of principles that he learned after he was trying to find the answer to the question, why do dogs die so young? Ted Carasotti is our guest this hour. Ted is the author now of Pucca, The Pup After Merle. He's the author of many books. He began writing professionally as a teenager, and he has done essays. He's a photographer as well. His subjects and pictures have been in Audubon, Outside, National Geographic, Traveler, and many other publications. He was one of the first people to document the caribou migration across the coastal plain of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and his images of wildlife from around the world, as well as those of indigenous people, have been displayed in many publications. He has traveled all over the world, climbed, skied, and run rivers from Hong Kong to Helsinki, from the Arctic Ocean to the Straits of Magellan, from the Alps to the savannas of Africa, and we are delighted to have him with us this hour of the program to talk about what you may do to allow your dog to live a longer life. Ted Carasotti, hello. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Kathleen, for having me on your show.
Our great pleasure. Well, I got to tell you, I love human beings, but I really love dogs, and I know that you do as well. You really love dogs.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. They've been some of my very best friends through this life.
Yeah.
They are for many other people.
They really are. They're an important part of our lives. After you wrote, let's talk about the genesis of your new book. After you wrote Merle's Door, Lessons from a Free-Thinking Dog, and your dog did die of cancer, all our dogs die too young, the theme that you kept getting from emails and from people was the question, why do dogs die so young?
Yes, and I can remember the exact spot where I finally realized that I was going to write the new book, Pucca's Promise, The Quest for Longer-Lived Dogs, although I hadn't conceived of the title at that time. I was on Merle's book tour. I was in Monroe, Louisiana. And once again, I was checking my emails before an evening event, and I received yet again another dozen batch of these emails saying, why did my dog die of cancer at 2-3 years old? Why is my dog becoming arthritic after being vaccinated? And I sat back in my chair and I said, gosh, you know, why do our dogs die so young? So I started Googling around the internet and started doing some research and soon discovered that our dogs don't live as long as some other animal species because they're the direct descendants of wolves. They share 99.9% of the wolf's DNA, and the wolf itself is a short-lived species. In the wild, a wolf lives about 3 to 4 years, though in captivity it could live 12 to 15 years, such as a big dog might live. However, how we then raise and care for our dogs can either extend their naturally brief lifetimes or shorten it.
Mm-hmm.
I soon discovered that everyone pretty much agreed that 4 factors influence canine longevity. And this would be careless or thoughtless inbreeding, over-vaccination, poor nutrition, and their exposure to environmental pollutants. So I set out to investigate these 4 factors and see what role they really played in determining the lifespan of our dogs.
And would you say that some of what you write about in your new book is highly controversial or not? Is it just sort of natural, things we should have known all along?
Some of it is things we might have guessed at all along, and some of it is controversial because what I did was go to the veterinary literature itself and try to talk to as many veterinarians who are out-of-the-box thinkers, mm-hmm. who are at the cutting edge of their profession and making advances that may not have yet appeared in one's local general practitioner's veterinary office. And from these people, I learned a great deal. And one of the most important things I learned is that spaying and neutering may not be benign. There's a lot of evidence that shows that spayed and neutered dogs aren't as healthy, may not live as long as intact dogs.
Well, let's start with that, because that's probably one of the more controversial things in the book. We have heard campaigns, humane societies everywhere in the country are saying to be a responsible pet owner, you simply must spay or neuter your dogs. Look at the number of dogs we get who are unwanted. Look at the number of dogs who are stray dogs who have horrible lives because people are not responsible. If we were all responsible, could we follow that advice? And do we run a risk of not being responsible if we do follow that advice?
Yeah. There's no doubt that the spay-neuter campaigns of the last four decades have markedly reduced the number of healthy dogs who are killed in our shelters from about 20 million in the 1970s to 1.5 million healthy dogs per year today. That's still a deplorable figure. However, spaying and neutering aren't the only ways to prevent canine pregnancies. You can give a dog, a female dog, a tubal ligation or a hysterectomy. You can give a male dog a vasectomy, the very same procedures that are used in human medicine, and the reproductive result is exactly the same. Your dog cannot have puppies. However, because these three procedures, tubal ligation, vasectomy, and hysterectomy, don't remove the testes or ovaries of a dog, as do spaying and neutering, the dog still retains its beneficial sex hormones, testosterone and estrogen, which have now been shown to forestall or prevent a lot of nasty conditions like endocrine dysfunction, orthopedic conditions like hip dysplasia or tears of the anterior cruciate ligament, urinary incontinence, and most important, several really terrible cancers like osteosarcoma, bone cancer, bladder cancer, prostate cancer, and hemangiosarcoma, a cancer of the blood vessels. These are not really theoretical questions. Hemangiosarcoma is the leading killer of golden retrievers in the United
States. Oh, interesting.
So there are very good reasons to look for alternative forms of birth control for our dogs that have the very same end, no puppies, but produce a healthier dog over the long term.
Well, why is it that veterinarians all over the country aren't saying, Ted, you're right, this should have been cutting-edge science a long time ago, shouldn't it, if this indeed is the outcome?
Well, this puzzled me. This puzzled me greatly, Kathleen.
I'm sure.
Especially because I did a search in PubMed and within a few seconds found articles in the veterinary literature itself dating back to 1976, that's almost 40 years ago, that describe vasectomies and tubal ligations as quick, easy, and efficient, complications rare. And I thought, my God, this has been in the literature for 40 years. Why are we still spaying and neutering dogs?
Right.
And so I called every single veterinary training center in the United States. There are 29 of them. And I called the four in Canada and asked them. And lo and behold, only one of them, one in Canada on Prince Edward Island, was teaching their students how to do vasectomies. And when I started prodding people about why aren't you teaching this stuff when your own literature talks about it, and your own literature talks about all the bad stuff that can happen to spayed and neutered dogs, people would finally say, you know, institutions are hard to change, have a lot of inertia. We've been doing this for 100 years this way. It takes time and money to change things. And to be fair, the animal welfare community has also convinced everyone that spaying and neutering is the only way to go. So we have this kind of snowball effect, and instituting a new procedure will take time. And I urge people that when they go to their vets to say, hey, I don't need a spay or a neuter, but these other procedures, and I wish you would learn them so my dog can be healthier.
Ted Carasotti, who's out to change things in terms of how we care for our dogs in order for them to live longer lives, is our guest this hour. You are familiar, many of you who are dog lovers, with his best-selling book, Merle's Door, Lessons from a Free-Thinking Dog, one of the best dogs Ted ever had. We all have dogs like that in our lives. And his latest book is Pukka, The Pup After Merle. What he did was wait a long time and research how to keep dogs living longer. He went all over the world and talked to many, many people. And as he said, he came up with five factors. We've only talked about one. We have yet to talk about environmental pollutants and nutrition, inbreeding dogs, and vaccinations. And we'll do so in just one moment. So please stay with us. And we'll welcome your phone calls, too, on dogs, 800-486-8655. He is saying some things that perhaps we haven't heard before, and that's what happens on the Ideas Network every now and then. You say, oh, I haven't heard that before. Isn't this fascinating? We'll get back to our conversation in a moment, but we do need to take a few minutes to ask for your support of all of the programs that you enjoy, because you know listeners help pay the bills at Wisconsin Public Radio. We are in our winter membership drive. I am delighted that John Munson is with me, and we are here to ask you to go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to make a gift in support of all of the programs that you count on.
Well, good morning, Kathleen. I'm happy to be here today, and even happier to announce that we have a dollar-for-dollar match this hour.
All right.
Up to $1,000 from Billy in Green Bay, and she's put some money up so that your pledge can go further today when you make it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And, well, your pledge is doubled. Doubled. We can't say it enough.
Great hour to
so
pledge.
So this is a perfect time for you to pledge. Thanks to Billy for her generous contribution. Again, please go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and help us meet our goals.
On the Ideas Network, you hear a variety of viewpoints from many guests, and listeners bring a unique perspective to the conversation. I got to tell you, almost all of our guests say what fabulous listeners we have, and I say, yes, we do. When you hear yourself saying, yesterday on WPR, I heard, that means it's time to make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, we know you give to WPR to support the programs, and we are very grateful for that. Well, as an added incentive, we have something special for you. You can get Pukka's Promise when you give $120. That's $10 a month. Ask for it now when you make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Oof, 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 oof. Really, for all of you who love dogs, this is your hour. During pledge drives, we get great comments from listeners about why they chose to donate. For example, Susan from Bayside said of her WPR listening, I learn, I laugh, I think. It's all good. That's why she decided to give.
We need to get that translated into Latin. Wouldn't that? I think that sounds like one of those, you know, Vini, Vidi, Vici or something like that. I learn, I laugh, I think. What a great motto. Well, make that your motto and then join Susan in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we thank you for spending time with Wisconsin Public Radio today. Whether you found us by scanning the dial, a friend recommended, the great discussions and interesting guests, you stay tuned into us because you like what you hear.
Absolutely. And because you like what you hear, we're asking you to support this public broadcasting service by making a donation. Now, here's the really great news. You choose the amount, $25, $60, whatever's comfortable for you. And with that gift, you'll let us know that you appreciate the programs. Please become our next new member at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Shopping at your local farmers market, running a 5K for charity, the things that help you are all the more rewarding when they also help a whole community, like being a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Set up an ongoing monthly contribution and your gift will inform and entertain more than 200,000 people who listen every day.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, and we're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift could be $5, $10, $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, you can get Puck as promised for your pledge of $120 or more. That's just $10 a month.
And we also have this. If you give $50, it's really worth $100. Can you talk about that?
Well, you know, we've got a generous dollar-for-dollar match, $1,000 from Billy in Green Bay.
Right.
So right now, your $10 a month becomes $20 a month.
Well, this is a perfect time to give, then. You can't ask for anything more. Giving couldn't be easier. We need your name, your contact information, the amount of your pledge, how you would like to pay for it.
Well, here's an idea. Save time, save some money, use a credit card if you can. Or better yet, start automatic, sustaining donations directly from your bank account. You choose how to give, and then you do it. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Think for a moment about the programs you love. How often do you listen? How long? Think about your budget. What amount will make you feel good after you have pledged? Think of that amount and then pledge online, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Remember, get your pledge doubled right now. We have a ways to go to make that $1,000 match from Billy in Green Bay, so this is the perfect time to make your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Support the programs you count on.
And for all of you dog lovers, and I know John is one, and I certainly am as well, ask for Pucca's Promise, the quest for longer-lived dogs, with your pledge of $120 or more. That's $10 a month, and you may change the way your dog lives, and your dog may live longer, and that's wonderful. Pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, when you make your pledge, please consider becoming a sustainer. Your sustaining membership automatically renews each year. You'll pay your pledge in affordable monthly installments. It's so easy to set up, and it's a great way to make a lasting impact on WPR. You choose how to give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much, John.
I'll be back.
Please. And whenever you'd like,
okay.
Just come on in and we'll talk.
My pleasure.
John Munson with us again. It's a wonderful hour. It's double your money because somebody has graciously offered to give us a dollar-for-dollar match, a $1,000 dollar-for-dollar match from Billy. Thanks, Billy. You must love dogs, Billy, in Green Bay. And also this marvelous book with Ted Carasotti, who is our guest. We're going to start taking, well, let's take a phone call right now. There are many factors that we want to talk about to have your dog live a longer life, and we will get to all of these factors, but our phone lines are pretty jammed here, so let's go to some calls for Ted. Ted's book is Pucca's Promise, The Quest for Longer-Lived Dogs. Tom, hi.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Fine. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing great.
Good.
We just got the family Christmas puppy. We got a Springer Spaniel this Christmas, and we're just so in love with this dog. She's approaching that age where, you know, the discussions of being spayed is coming up. And to be honest with you, this is the first time I've ever heard of the idea of doing a tubal ligation or mm-hmm. having that done.
Yes.
So I have a couple questions on that. One, maybe I could assume this answer, but if she had a tubal ligation, would our puppy still have her cycle? And then the other thing is, and I might have dialed in or tuned in a little late, what would be the difference in invasiveness between the two procedures for that?
Well, thanks for your question, and they're very good ones. The tubal ligation is not as invasive as a full spay. A full spay in the United States, the veterinarian takes out the dog's ovaries and takes out the dog's uterus. It's called an ovarihysterectomy. You can prevent your dog from having puppies by either taking out her ovaries, giving her a hysterectomy, or giving her a tubal ligation. The least invasive is the tubal ligation. It just ties her tubes. She will still cycle twice a year through her heat periods for about 2 weeks each time. And depending on the dog, she may spot a little blood. And if you have white carpets, you'd have to be careful. Keep her gated in the kitchen during that time, outside in a barn or in a fenced yard. But you also need to realize that if there are intact male dogs around, they could easily jump a fence outside and mate with your dog. So vigilance would be necessary. And if you walk her where there are intact male dogs, you need to keep her under close supervision on a leash. One of the vets who helped me a lot with the book, Dr. Karen Becker, down in Illinois, in Bourbonnais, Illinois, suggests to her clients with intact dogs that they get some denim hot pants and some diapers, and if they have a dog in a house with carpet, use those. So it is a bit more trouble than just spaying your dog. However, this is the way Western Europeans, who keep most of their dogs intact, have reduced the number of dogs, healthy dogs, who are killed in their shelters. They're very vigilant about sequestering their female dogs during their twice yearly heat period. The rest of the year, the dog can be a free-roaming dog, consort with intact males, and she cannot get pregnant during the rest of the year.
Thank you very much, Tom, for your call. Let's move on, although people can certainly call in about this important issue, to the issue of inbreeding. I must say, and this is purely anecdotal, but the best dogs that I've ever had, and I've always had a dog every year of my life, have been dogs that we would consider mixed breed mutts. They've always been the healthiest dogs and easiest to train for some reason. Is there a great deal of inbreeding, and is there a lot of inbreeding of certain breeds, Ted, that we need to watch out for?
Yes. Let's back up just a little bit, Kathleen, because you made an important statement that I think needs a little bit of explanation. In general, the veterinary literature tells us that mixed breeds have the potential to live 1.8 years longer than purebred dogs of the same size and suffer from fewer genetically transmitted diseases. So your anecdotal evidence is spot on. In general, it seems that mixed breed dogs can be healthier and live longer. I don't know if they're necessarily more trainable. That may depend on the individual dog. However, if one has one's heart set on a purebred dog, there are ways to get healthy, long-lived dogs, and that is by making sure that a reputable breeder has given you, the dam and sire of your prospective litter, all the appropriate orthopedic health screenings and DNA tests, so those easily preventable genetically transmitted diseases are screened out before they're ever passed on to a puppy, and that you're ensuring that the new pups are less likely to get hip dysplasia or some other orthopedic malady. So there are ways to get purebred dogs who can be as healthy as a mixed breed.
Let's go to Kay in Milwaukee. Ted, hi, Kay.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a comment about the length of life in a dog. I had a long-haired Chihuahua for 18 and a half years. And I have to say, I think a lot of it was he did get regular dog food. I was young, so I can't say it was before the time of the popular good foods. But he also got a lot of regular food. I know they talked about table scraps being bad, but it was chicken, vegetables, things like that. A lot of exercise and just a lot of experiences. He got to pretty much do what a dog loves to do.
Right.
He wasn't one of those, like purse dogs, if you want to put it that way. And I think that really contributed to the length of his life.
Ted, that's a long life.
Yeah, you brought up some of the major points that the book touches upon, and they're excellent ones. The first is that smaller dogs tend to live longer than larger ones. That's pretty much across the board. And you had a rather small dog. They have a mutated gene called IGF-1. It produces lower insulin levels. It leads to longer lifespans in dogs, humans, and other species. In addition, you fed your dog high-quality protein and vegetables. There is nothing wrong with that. In fact, emerging evidence shows that when we supplement a dog's food with green, leafy, and yellow-orange vegetables, they're cancer-protective. They have anti-inflammatory agents, phytochemicals. Whether you're a dog or a human being, if you want to have fewer chronic diseases and live longer, you should be eating more vegetables. Another point is that lots of commercial kibble is high in corn and rice, and those carbohydrates give dogs spiked glucose and blood glucose and insulin levels, which have been shown in a variety of species to lead to chronic diseases. Last, you gave your dog a lot of exercise, and that's a key point in keeping dogs both physically and mentally healthy. So you did all the right things.
You did all the right things, and your dog lived a long time. Let's go to Judy. Hi, Judy, in Grand Marsh, Wisconsin. Hi.
Good morning. Every part of my brain is lit up with joy to speak to Ted Carasotti and thank him for his writing. As many of us know, his research that he does on his projects and the humanity of his writing is above any, at least at the top. And I am an avid book reader who is losing her memory so that I can't quote you, even your titles, except, of course, from Earl's Door. But you wrote a wonderful book about the natives in Canada and how they suffered when their diets were disturbed, and the pitiful amount of food that was sent to them in a rescue, and you have something about life on a houseboat that was fabulous. If I'm wrong about anything, I'm just not remembering well enough. But I thank you for your writing, the way you care about your subjects. Anybody who has any money to give to the station, please give it and get this book. You will be highly rewarded. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you very much.
You are quite an adventurer, aren't you, Ted? You've just been all over the world, and talk about exercise. You've had more than your fair share, haven't you?
Well, you know, I just had never liked working very much, and so it's been more fun to travel around and then write about the people and the animals I meet and the adventures we've had together. It's been a very good profession for a lazy person such as myself.
Yeah, you're underestimating yourself, I think. Ted Carasotti is our guest this hour. He's a nature writer and author, and he's written a book that really challenges the way that we raise dogs. Pukka's Promise, The Quest for Longer-Lived Dogs. Many of you are familiar with his bestseller, Merle's Door, Lessons from a Free-Thinking Dog. And we're going to continue our conversation with him, which is just fascinating. Some of this material is new. It's new to me. Is it new to you? Which is what the Ideas Network is all about. Just a reminder, this would be particularly for those of you who love dogs or you know people who love dogs and would like to give them a gift. It's a great hour to pledge. For a $120 pledge, we'll be delighted to send you a copy of Pukka's Promise, The Quest for Longer-Lived Dogs. And we also have this challenge thing going on. So it's a dollar-for-dollar match, $1,000 for a dollar match from Billy from Green Bay. So would you pledge now? Good idea. 888-202-2552 is our number. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson in our studios in Milwaukee. This, of course, is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. And what an hour this is for pledge for you dog lovers and friends of people who and relatives of people who love dogs. This is your hour. You count on WPR's Ideas Network for talk about issues that matter to you. And, you know, we count on you to keep all of these discussions on the air. That's the way it goes. Make a gift of any amount at this very moment. Help us pay for the programs you depend on. WPR.org or 888 202 2552.
Well, good news, Kathleen. We made our match. Thanks
to wonderful.
Billy in Green Bay.
Thank you, Billy.
We made our match. Now, we still need to get 29 more pledges this hour to meet our hourly goal. Thank you so much if you've already given this hour and helped to make that match. If you haven't, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now at WPR.org. We're at 888-202-2552.
John and I have frequently talked about what a phenomenal service the Ideas
Absolutely.
Network it
wow.
is. It just is. There are very few stations like this. Just think of all of the guests, all of the ideas that you hear all day long, day after day after day.
Absolutely.
It's really something. It's unique in the country, and your support really makes it possible. So pledge now for the station that you rely on and enjoy, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, you decide the amount of your pledge. That's a really important thing. We don't come to you with a bill. You don't get an invoice saying you owe this much for public radio. No, we don't
right.
do that. Every pledge is appreciated. Every pledge helps pay for the programs you love on WPR. So consider asking for Pucka's Promise as your thank you gift when you give just $10 a month, $120 a year. That's about 30 cents a day at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
After you make your pledge, I guarantee you'll feel good every time you turn on the radio. How about that? You'll have the satisfaction of knowing that you helped make this station possible.
Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported. We can't say that enough. Your pledge not only guarantees our future, it guarantees your future listening. So pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and feel good all year long.
We can continue to serve our listeners and communities because of the support that we receive from our members. We also have this WPR 9XM Leadership Circle. There are 550 members, and today there may be more if you would like to join it. And 9XM members support WPR with a gift of $1,200 a month or more each year. To make this leadership gift of $100 a month, or a gift really of any amount, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio has enriched my life in so many ways. When I was a new mother back in the 1990s, and I became hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been an avid listener, and each day of my life is enriched because of the depth of the topics offered, the balanced dialogue that the host and the guest both offer. The Ideas Network makes me a better mother and a better citizen, and I'm so thankful for it.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support. After this hour, you may be a better dog owner, too. So what more can you ask for? I'm Kathleen Dunn. John Munson is with me, and we are asking for your support of WPR. And we thank you in advance for your gift, and we thank all of you who have pledged already. $5, $10, $30 a month, or whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, you can get Pucka's Promise for your pledge of $120 or more. That's just $10 a month.
You listen to WPR all during the year. Now, donate the same way you listen, please, by becoming a sustaining member. Make the decision once. You'll make affordable contributions of, say, $10 or $20 a month for as long as you wish.
It's easy on your budget. It cuts down on paperwork. Well, there's two things I think we can all get behind. And as a sustainer, you'll automatically be entered in all of our drawings and sweepstakes. Don't delay. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
A $10 a month contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio is just a little over 30 cents a day.
Wow.
And you know, that's 30 cents a day. You spend a lot more than 30 cents a day, don't you, on things that you value a whole lot less than WPR.
Well, I bet that's true. Spend a little right now. You'll get a lot in return. Make that donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Now, whether you go online or call, remember, you'll be investing in a station that you use.
And we're looking, John, for 23 more pledges.
Yay, we'll get them.
We ought to be able to.
Momentum just walked in the room and slapped us right upside the head.
So all right.
Momentum
all right.
is here.
Hey.
Momentum is in the house.
Yes. I just wish we had a dog in the house for this hour. I should have brought my dog.
I have pictures of my grand dogs on my phone if you want me to bring those in and
Oh, why don't you put it on our Facebook page?
Okay.
Will you do that?
Yeah, I'll give them to Rhonda and she can put
them
up.
All right, and I'll put my dog on the Facebook page.
All right.
Everybody, not just us, you all can put your pictures of your dogs.
Yeah, let's see those
Facebook.
Dogs.
Let's see those dogs. Okay, it's the Kathleen Dunn Show. Your gift right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552, supports the programs that you count on.
Let's make sure that this network doesn't go to the dogs. And I mean that in a good way. You can ask for Pucka's Promise with your pledge of $120 or more. That's just $10 a month. So pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And without getting too mushy, this is really sweet, though. Carrie from Milwaukee writes, "You are the soundtrack for my day."
Wow.
Thank you.
Don't you just love that?
I do. It's all right.
Yeah.
Donate now. How do they do it?
WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you, John. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for all of your pledges. Our guest this hour is Ted Carasotti. We're delighted to have him with us, and we do hope that he'll return when we have a full hour. His latest book is Pucka's Promise, The Quest for Longer-Lived Dogs, and we're welcoming phone calls for him. Our number is 800-486-8655. Ted, before we go back to phone calls, let's talk a little bit about Pucka, because we always love to talk about our dogs, and what it is you're doing with Pucka that you haven't done with other dogs because of all the research and all the years you spent attempting to get the answer. Why do dogs not live longer?
One of the very first things I did with Pucka was I elected not to get a shelter dog or a stray dog. All my previous dogs had either been from a shelter or, as in Merle's case, a half-wild dog who just walked up to me on the San Juan River.
I know.
Back in 1991 and said, "You need a dog," and I'm it. And it turned out to be one of the great canine love affairs of my life. Mm. Now, Pucka is, but it seemed, I did go to shelters and look for a dog when my heart finally healed 3 years after Merle's death, but I never found a dog whom I thought was really going to be that lifetime partner. I also, by this point, have been doing a lot of research showing that intact dogs may in fact be healthier than sterilized dogs, and I knew that a dog from a shelter would have to be sterile.
Oh.
I also wanted to put into practice some of the things I was learning about tracing a dog's ancestry back through time and calling up breeders who had bred the dog's great-grandparents, grandparents, and asking them, how long did the dogs live? What did they die of? What health conditions affected them? In this way, trying to hedge one's bet a little bit more and get a healthier dog from the get-go. I was able to trace Pucka's pedigree back 30 generations.
Goodness gracious.
To one of the first recorded Labradors in history, a dog named Netherby Boson, who was born on the estate of the 11th Earl of Home in Scotland in 1868.
Oh.
That's longer than I can trace my grandparents back.
Right, right.
Just about. And so it was very instructive to then use a software program that calculated Pucka's litter's coefficient of inbreeding. And the coefficient of inbreeding tells us how inbred a dog is. And it used to be a very long and lengthy mathematical formula. Now you can download a software program for $12, figure it out in an hour, and you want coefficients of inbreeding that are about less than 6%. And so Pucka's was 2.2%. I knew that he was not ever going to suffer from progressive retinal atrophy, a blinding disease, central nuclear myopathy, a muscle-wasting disease, or exercise-induced collapse, another condition in which Labradors who run a lot simply collapse, not fatally most often, but they can't run for 15, 20 minutes. So I knew that Pucka was not going to have all these diseases because his parents had had the appropriate DNA tests. I also knew that they had had either normal, good, or excellent hips and elbows, and so the likelihood of Pucka being orthopedically sound was also high. I did all this not only because I wanted a longer-lived dog, but to firsthand go through these steps so I could relate them for my readers whose hearts were set on a purebred dog and wanted to get the healthiest one possible.
And how old is Pucca now?
Pucca will be 4 on March 18th.
And tell me about Pucca, a really good dog, the dog of your life. Nothing will surpass Merle.
They're different. Pucca has many of Merle's traits, and I specifically look for that. He's very athletic. He's impervious to the cold. Hmm. He loves to ski, bound through the snow. He loves to run rivers. He loves camping out.
Mm.
And he, as Merle did, is a free roams. He has his own dog door. He comes and goes as he wishes and conducts his own affairs. He's not as big a roamer as Merle because Merle did that in his puppyhood, and Pucca's puppyhood was spent with me from the start. However, we were skiing the other day, and a person skied by us. We're talking about backcountry skiing, and he said, "Hey, Pucca." And Pucca went up to him and gave him a very warm greeting, and the man came up to me and said, "You don't know me, but Pucca comes over to our house quite often. We live on the other side of Kelly, and he comes in and hangs out by the fire and says hello, and he'll spend an hour or two and then go home." And so I said, I looked at Pucca and I said, "You know, like Merle, you have your own life that's separate from mine. You make your own friends. You're quite a self-actualized dog." And in this regard, we are very lucky in a place like Kelly, Wyoming.
Yes,
as
yes.
People who live in other rural places, whether it's Wisconsin or New England or the Southwest, that don't have a lot of roads and cars, and dogs can conduct their own affairs and become better problem solvers, more self-actualized. Most people who are listening who have those kind of dogs, I suspect, are nodding their heads. Those of us who live in suburbs and cities actually have to be more committed dog people because we can't simply let our dogs outside. We have to take them to a big municipal park or get in the car and
right.
Drive to woodlands or the beach. But it's really worth doing that so a dog can run at dog speed, not human speed, in a green place with other dogs. And ideally, it would be every day of the week. Dogs would love that. But certainly, we should aim for at least a couple to 3 times a week.
Yeah. I'm with you. Let's go to Neil in Brookfield. Hi, Neil. Is it Neil or Nell? I'm sorry, it's Nell. Hi, Nell. Are you there? Oh, Nell, sorry. We lost you, Nell. Our phone number, we have time to take maybe one more phone call, so yours could be it. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. And we want to remind you that we are in this pledge drive, and Pucca's Promise, the quest for longer-lived dogs, is our thank you gift if you can pledge $120, Ted Carasotti's latest book. I'm going to ask you just a personal question here, if you don't mind, Ted, because we lost Nell and we got a pledge, and some people will be in my situation. I have a soft-coated Wheaton Terrier who I've had for, he just celebrated his 9th birthday on February 17th. He's really a good dog. He's kind of a wacky dog, and we got him because we needed a dog that didn't shed. Our youngest boy is allergic to dogs, and he's been, you know, a lot of fun for many years. I'm thinking of getting a therapy dog. I'd really love to take a dog to nursing homes and schools, and I would just really love to do that. What do you think about having a couple dogs at the same time, one who's very old and one who would become kind of a service dog? Is that possible?
I do indeed think it's possible, and what I would suggest is that you let the first dog, the dog who has been living in the house, be part of the decision-making process.
Oh, I never thought of that.
And vet the other dog. You may like the other dog, but your present dog may not.
Oh.
Dogs like us just have preferences in friendships. And I see this a lot. People, and at least I've seen it in a couple instances, and I hear about it a lot through my email. People get another dog, and they say, the first dog is really miserable and angry or is depressed. And I ask, well, did you consult with the first dog? Mm-hmm. And they said, no, don't all dogs like dogs? Well, they don't. And they are just like us. I'm sure that if your husband decided to bring in someone else to live in the house, you might like to have a say in it. And so I think there's an easy way to prevent this is when you're shopping for the new dog, is take the first dog along, introduce them, and watch the body language, watch how they get along. Maybe you can test run the new dog, bring it to the home, and see if the first dog really likes this new companion. There would be so much heartache, both canine and human, saved if we just remembered that dogs really do have preferences and we ought to check in with them before we make big decisions about changing their lives.
Wow, I've never heard that advice, and it's terrific. Ted, we're in a pledge drive. We have to say goodbye. I can't thank you enough. I've learned so much this hour, and wouldn't we love to meet you and Pukka sometime? That would be great. We should do a dog thing sometime and invite listeners, and you could bring Pukka, and wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun.
That would be fun. Thank you, Ted, ever so much.
Thank you, Kathleen. Much appreciated.
Ted Carasotti, his latest book is Pukka's Promise, The Quest for Longer-Lived Dogs. Well, that was fun. I don't know about you, but that was really a fascinating hour. I'm Kathleen Dunn. John Munson is with me, and you listen to this show regularly. You know you're always going to hear something worthwhile and sometimes something brand new. It's a time for you to put a value on this program, your gift vital to WPR, and it's a big part of what keeps us going. Support this program and everything else you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio by making a gift in any amount, WPR.org or 888-202-255.
WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Help pay for programs you depend on. Now, we're looking for just five pledges in the next 3 or 4 minutes or so, and we'll get there if you make your donation right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I know you've been enjoying the conversation with Ted Carasotti, author of Pukka's Promise. Take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you. Make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And your gift of just $10 a month, that's a $120 pledge, will get you a copy of Pukka's Promise as your thank you gift. 30 cents a day, that's all it takes. Your pledge will help support these programs like this one, and you'll enjoy the book. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And John, Katrina from Blanchardville says, I donated today because it seems WPR always plays what I want or need to hear at just the right time, and I've been wanting to buy Ted's new book since I finished Merle's Door.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Serendipity.
Yeah.
That's life sometimes.
Absolutely.
Huh? Maybe you've been on vacation, your car didn't work, or car radio didn't work, and you felt like something was missing when you couldn't listen to WPR for a while. And then you got WPR back, and you had that great feeling of familiarity.
Well, when you see how happy you are to have the familiar voices and programs back, that's when you realize how important WPR is in your life. The best way to keep it there? Support it with your dollars. Make a pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we only need five more pledges
cool.
in the next few minutes. I think we ought to be able to do this, which is terrific. A reminder that only this hour, it could change the relationship you have with your dog you have now or your future dog. I thought this guy was really interesting. Ted Carasotti, Pukka's Promise, The Quest for Longer-Lived Dogs. We also ask that you put your dog's picture on Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. Please, we'll put Murphy up there. I promise on his 9th birthday. Go ahead, John.
Well, you know, you mentioned Pukka's Promise, and you can get a copy of that with your pledge of $120 or more. That's just $10 a month, 30 cents a day. Whatever you do, pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Only a couple minutes and for that book for a $120 donation, and we'll work toward trying to get Ted to do an event with us somewhere in Wisconsin.
Cool?
I would love to
do that.
That
would be great.
I know a lot of people love dogs, and wouldn't it be fun?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it would be.
I think even cat people love dogs.
Rhonda is standing here. She, you're right, she does.
Okay, maybe that was a little optimistic.
But her cat is like a dog.
But we know we all love WPR.
Yes, so, okay, WPR, so pledge.
WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and we thank you.
Thanks, John Munson. Thanks very much. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this program and to Katie Mattson for on-air production and woof, woof, woof for all the dogs out there. Pledge now, all the dog lovers. The dogs can't pledge. I know that, don't I? We have news coming up. We'll return.